100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the sweet day of a 19 no long, so me say.
Hey, hey, Digital Sister here. I'm back. Thanks to my fans in Japan and England, my great fan base in Denver, Colorado, and, of course, in the state of Kansas around the Newtown area. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, my fans across the country and in other points around the globe. Now, I'm having to record this over again because I just recorded and it didn't take, so I'm a little annoyed, but I'm going to do it again. Because it's so important for me to have my weekly podcast available for you. But let me begin with the whole conviction of Scooter Libby. Oh, my God. First of all, the man is 56 years old, and they're still calling him Scooter. I don't get that. That's like Biff and Bob, you know, that whole thing. But in any event, I mean, this whole situation came out of the fact that there was a probe into how the identity of CIA operative Valerie Plame, her identity was leaked to reporters in 2003. And the reason why it was leaked is because her husband, I can't think of his name, is Joe, who was an ambassador, criticized the whole Iraq war. And the thin-skinned people in the White House, the vice president, the president, Karl Rove, all of those guys were really ticked off that here somebody was complaining about the war and criticism about the war. And so rather than just because we're in a free country and that's okay, they decided they would compromise the identity of this man's wife, knowing that she was a CIA agent. And I'm thinking, I don't get it, because these are guys who are supposed to be so patriotic, protecting the homeland, all this stuff, but yet, because somebody criticizes what you're doing, you have sour grapes and basically undermine the security of the country, and certainly you undermine the security of that one individual, Valerie Plame. I mean, I'm not getting it, and I just wonder why. And I'm just thinking, like everybody else, why isn't Karl Rove being investigated? I mean, he was investigated before, but they swept that away and he got off scot-clean. But they're leaving Scooter Libby out to dry. And I just wonder, you know, with him being a close crony of the vice president and in the inner circle, I'm wondering how he feels right now in knowing that he's been the fall guy and been left out to hang to dry. I wonder how he feels about them, you know? Are there any backroom conversations about how we're going to help, or, you know, do this for us and we'll take care of you? I mean, I don't know, but I just wonder how the vice president, the president, and Karl Rove sleep at night from some of the things that they're doing, and how they're doing these things but trying to make it look like they're not. It's just blowing my mind. And you know, Scooter's 56 years old, and if he, his sentencing is coming June 5th, and he's likely to possibly face 25 years in jail and a possible fine of $1 million. And then there's been talk in the news that possibly if he does get the maximum sentence, that, you know, perhaps President Bush is going to pardon him, and that's just going to really go over really big, you know. But I just don't understand it, you know. They've left this guy out to dry. He's obviously the fall guy. And, you know, the vice president and the president are saying, oh, we're saddened by the verdict, but we respect the system, but we're just so saddened, you know, for his family and all that. But, you know, I don't think they really cared when they basically were engineering that he's going to be the one to take the fall. So, very interesting fall from grace from the inner circle and the high levels of government. I guess, in short, you always have to watch your back. That's for sure. My God, what's going on with the NAACP? You have a great person in Bruce Gordon, executive telecommunications industry. who after 19 months had enough and resigned. And apparently, I can understand it, because you cannot deal with a 64-member board. That's just too big. It's too impossible to deal with. And basically, you know, he's a CEO who was used to the CEO kind of trickling down their vision and telling everybody else what to do. But in the nonprofit world, you have a director, but it's really the board of trustees that runs the organization and tells the director what to do. And that was the clash. He was used to corporate culture, but in fact he was dealing in a nonprofit culture. And the other issue too is you have a lot of people that have been there forever. You know, they don't want change. They don't want new ideas, you know, and they're going to do everything that they can to keep everything the same. And basically, you know, like Senator Barack Obama and probably what Bruce Gordon represented to a lot of these people is new world order, and people are not ready for new world order. They want things to stay the same, and that's what I say new world order, especially referring to Senator Barack Obama, because that's what he represents. You know, with the history of the civil rights and all of that, the leaders and where things were organized were in the churches, and the pastors of those churches were the automatic leaders and the people who spoke for the community and were in these leadership positions. But what Barack represents is a new world order, because he doesn't come out of that. He was born in Kenya, he lived in Hawaii, he lived in Indonesia. So he did not come out of being a Baptist minister from the South. You know, he has a different perspective and somewhat of a different journey. And so that's what all the ramblings and discussions about Senator Obama are all about. Many people, I think, in the African-American community and probably in the majority community are very accustomed and conditioned, as I said earlier, or maybe I said that in the other episode that didn't record, but been conditioned to see leadership as one type, which is, you know, a preacher and someone out of that realm. And he is not from that realm. And so people are really, I think, freaking out because they don't know what to do. But he is the gate to the new world order. And I think more and more people are going to be like him, where they have these multicultural backgrounds and different types of upbringings that bring more, I think, vision to the party and to the country. And so that's why he's shaking up things. And that's what's going on with the NAACP. You still have too much of the old guard taking up space, taking up air, and they are not about to change or shift for anybody. And rather than change and shift, they would almost rather have the organization be stuck and stale and stuck in a time warp. And that is what has to change. So I will be very interesting to see who will be brought in to take over. Are they going to use the people within the ranks? But the question I think really is and the organization has to wrestle with that, being the largest and oldest, not largest, but the oldest civil rights organization in the country, almost 100 years old. What is your mission? What are you, what do you stand for now? Because in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and that era, it was about equality. I mean, it still is to some degree, but it was about stopping some of the horrible things that were going on. And so everybody was galvanized around the issue of integration and that sort of thing. But, you know, that has happened. And so now I think they are haven't quite figured out what kind of organization they're going to be and what types of civil rights will they address and who will it be for. So I think it's an organization that's wrestling with its identity and how it can be relevant in this day and age. But it's going to be interesting to see just exactly how things pan out. I mean, I talked about my recent trip to Ghana, West Africa, where I had the chance to go to the place where W.E.B. Du Bois lived and did his work for the last years of his life. And he was one of the early founders of the NAACP with the Niagara Movement, Pan-Africanism, and all that. He would be turning in his grave, you know, some 98 years later, and seeing exactly the morass that the NAACP kind of finds itself in right now. He would be, I think, just probably horrified at all the work that he did, and, you know, things basically probably haven't changed as much as he would like them to change. So it'll be interesting to see just exactly how that all pans out. Now, I was talking a little bit about Senator Barack Obama because, you know, there was a situation with the old radio racist that I talked about in earlier podcasts about how, you know, people make these inappropriate comments and then when they get checked, it's always a misunderstanding. Well, it's the same thing with an Austin radio show personality, Sam Allred, and he has a show, Drive Time, Sam and Bob, on KV as in Victor, ETFM out of Austin. And they were talking about Joe Biden and his comments about Senator Obama being, you know, clean and articulate and all that sort of thing. And so then the two radio hosts are talking. And, you know, his co-host, Bob Cole, says, oh, clean, that's what what's-his-name said about a meeting, about what Senator Biden said about Barack Obama. And then Allred replies, clean darkie. Well, we all know what that means. And then, you know, his radio co-host is just totally appalled, saying, Sammy, you know, they cut to commercial, and in the event, he's been suspended from the station until March 12th. And, of course, now that he's been checked, you know, he regrets the misunderstanding, and he insists that Senator Biden was his attack and that he really announced his support for Senator Obama. And, you know, like the previous situation I talked about in the other podcast, I mean, is he going to now go out and get a lifetime membership with the NAACP? But in any event, I think a lot of people have jumped into the conversation, some reporters from the Austin newspaper, the American Statesman down there. And basically what they're saying is because, you know, this guy, Sam Allred, has been at the station since 1969. He's in his early 70s. And he and Cole have had this morning show and been a team since 1990 on the station which plays country music. Okay? Billy Bob. And so, you know, he probably thought it would be a great comment. The listeners would just eat it up and it would be okay. But apparently, again, you know, he got checked and it wasn't okay. And one of the reporters has taken up the cause in the paper, as I said. And they're saying, you know, maybe this is the situation that will get this guy off the air. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But again, like I said before, if you're in this business and you're on the air, whatever, you know exactly what you're saying. You know the things that you're going to say for shock value. But, you know, a lot of times you just say what's really in your heart and what you feel. And, you know, that's what he did. And he got checked. And that's how it is, okay? But we know exactly what we're going to say. And to say these things and then to get checked and say, oh, it was a misunderstanding, oh, no. You know exactly what you're saying. Case closed. Now, what's up with Katie Couric? Now, she's in third place after 6 months. Remember all the hype when she left Today on Channel 3 to go to Channel 8? CBS News, you know, all this hype, you know, doing road shows to get the pulse of America, you know, a whole makeover change. She's in navy blue suits and pearls and, you know, all this stuff. In the end, all that couldn't mask the fact that apparently people are not tuning in to watch her deliver the news. She's in third place. But what's interesting is that Charlie Gibson, who is, what is his show? Oh, the World News Tonight, World News rather, is rising to the top. And an interesting comment came from former Evening News producer Eric Sorensen, who said, and I quote, Gibson is 63 years old. in quotes, has momentum because the traditional core audience has been conditioned for the past decade to receiving its 22 minutes of news from a white male over 60 years old. That's very telling. What it says to me is that we are so conditioned in this society in particular that we can only accept information or will listen to information delivered by old white men. Okay, that's what this is saying. And what this is saying is that we're just not comfortable with other people doing that. And it seems that Brian Williams, who's kind of young, I think he's in his late 40s, he's kind of like, you know, losing some edge. And here is Charlie Gibson, who has got to be just, you know, as white bread can be. This is the guy that is coming up on the ratings, and this is who people are tuning into. So it's very interesting to see that even though they brought out all the bells and whistles for Katie and all of that, you know, it may not be working. But she's still going to come out okay because she's making $15 million a year. They'll put her in some little things, you know, she'll be okay. But I think what it's saying is that they really would have preferred to keep Bob Seifert, who was there. I thought he was good, over her. And very telling. So the people who were singing her praises are now wringing her hands saying, oh, no, everything's okay. But believe me, if there's something in the paper about it, there's some discussion in the back room about what are we going to do about her. You can believe that. You can believe that, because they're going to be looking for somebody else to replace her. Mark my words. She'll be doing something else. Oh, my gosh. Let's look at what's going on in rap music. Apparently, rap music is on the decline after some 30 years. It's like not dominating the charts like it used to be. And here's some stats from the Associated Press. Rap sales have slid like 21% from 2005 to 2006. And it's also the first time in 12 years that no rap album was among the year's top 10 sellers. And it seems that they're polling people to see what's going on. And apparently it's the negative images that is turning off black youth and adults. And even Nas put out his latest album saying hip-hop is dead. But really, I think what you see is it's a genre now that is struggling to find another hook that's going to take it out and blow it up big. Because remember back in the 80s, when rap, well, late 70s, when Curtis Blow and Grandmaster Flash came out, you know, the music was fun. They were just talking about simple things and you know, it was fun. But then, you know, you got the mid 80s when gangster rap came out and just blew everybody away, and it brought on the whole gangster thing and thug life and all of that. And that is what has taken over, for a long time. But look at what happened with not a few, but many rappers who've, you know, took on that thug life persona. They're dead, you know. There's too many shootings. I've talked about that in my previous podcast too. You know, people just taking this whole gangster thing way overboard and really trying to live it when maybe that's not really their nature, but they're, you know, falling into the trap. I mean, that's what happened with Tupac in his later years. He wasn't really a gangster or a thug, but, you know, he took on that persona as he moved on to Death Row Records. And then once he got in there, he realized that was the wrong move. And it ended up, you know, in his unfortunate, untimely death. But I think that's what's happening now. There has to be something fresh. I mean, remember Public Enemy, Fight the Power. I mean, that was a protest song, but it was a good song. And from the movie Do the Right Thing, Spike Lee's movie. We need more kind of thinking people like KRS-One. You know, some of the older ones, you know. But that's what's happening now. I think, again, rap music is kind of like the NAACP. It's struggling to find its identity and where it's going to go next and what's going to be the new hook that's going to get people to really kind of come back to it in droves like in the early years. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And you see a lot of some of the rappers are moving on to do other things, you know, and they're getting older. Some are still trying to hang on doing the tours and all that. But I think a lot of people in a quandary as to what direction rap and hip-hop are going to go. So very interesting to see that after 30 years, you know, there's some changes and some decline, and it'll be very interesting to see what's going to be the next new thing that's going to bring hip-hop and rap out of the doldrums. Very interesting article. Very interesting article. And that's very interesting because I had a chance to interview Jerry Heller, who pioneered gangster rap, and he kind of talked about the state of affairs and what's going on. So, you know, I think everybody in the industry is trying to figure out what's going to be the next big thing and where should we go, the direction that we should go in. Very interesting discussion, though. But Bobby Brown, what's going on with him? What is going on with him? He, you know, was bailed out by that radio station because he showed up at his daughter's school, and they told him if he came back to the state, he'd be arrested because of the child support issues. And he did, and he was arrested. And, you know, he was supposed to be on that show and then kind of talk about the case and how he was going to turn his life around, you know, being on that show. But he backed out of it and, you know, reneged on it. And he said that wasn't their deal. But, you know, Bobby, people are trying to, I think, reach out and help you in some ways. And they're willing to help you, but they need something from you. So I'm hoping, you know, that he will get himself together because, you know, he's not probably making, you know, money or maybe not as much as he did because he's not touring. He doesn't have any record deals. I mean, New Edition was just in town, but he wasn't on tour with them. You know, he's just somebody I think that's out of control. And I'm hoping that he finds his way and gets back to doing what he needs to be doing, which is making music. And maybe it's a case where a lot of people have tried to help him, but, you know, he probably wants to do what he wants to do. And that's okay. But, you know, eventually he's going to have to stop that and then, you know, take some assistance from people to get back on track. Because I don't think it's just working this way, Bobby. You know, you got to look at it. It's not working. Whitney's moved on. She's trying to get her life back together. And what money she had, you know, she was bailing him out, but you know that's not happening now. So I hope he finds his way and can really you know, revamp himself and just get back, as I said with so many people, just get back to making music or figure out some of these new technologies that you can put your own stuff out, you know, but just get back to being a productive creative musician. Kelis, what's up with her? Now, this is Nas's wife. She was arrested down in Miami Beach because she, you know, basically attacked some undercover cops who were posing as hookers on South Beach on the main road, you know, to cut down on prostitution. So she sees them and she rushes up to them screaming racial profanities at them, things like that. And she had to be restrained by her friends. Well, she seemed to calm down. Talking about Kelly, she seemed to calm down for a minute, but then she started up again going after, you know, these cops. So they arrested her and handcuffed her. But she was subsequently released on $1,500 bond a couple hours later. But, you know, come on, what is up with that? I mean, a lot of these female rappers are acting just as foolish as the guys. I mean, Foxy Brown had her little situation last week where she was arrested in Florida. Not last week, but earlier in the month. You know, when she goes running to a church in Brooklyn to plead her case about how she's innocent, they're just picking on her because she's a black woman. And here's Kelis doing something equally as crazy. It's like, come on. I mean, I don't know. It's almost as if, you know, you have to have obnoxious behavior to prove you have street cred. I mean, I don't get it. I just don't get it. But again, she needs to just stick with making the music and let some of this bad behavior go because it, you know, in the end, I think it hurts you. It might be cute for a moment, but in the end, it hurts you. People don't want to see that. Star Jones, she's back because she has just been hired by Court TV to talk about criminal justice issues that intersect with pop culture. And I think that's going to be very interesting. God knows we have enough pop culture people who have some problems with the law. But in any event, I think that's going to be good for her. And I think after her experience with The View and Barbara Walters, she ate a lot of humble pie. And I think she's going back to where she probably can really shine because, you know, she's a former prosecutor and she's very good. And I think this will be what she needs to really get back to where she wants to be. You know, she can still be on TV, but she will at least be in a genre that she's familiar with and comfortable with. And I think that little bit with The View and Barbara Walters, you know, she got seduced by the glamour and glitz. And by the way, who wouldn't? You know, being very honest, who wouldn't? You know, you're making tons of money. You're on the A-list suddenly. You're at all the best parties and all that kind of stuff. Who wouldn't get caught up in it? But I think, you know, after the situation, she looked at herself and she realized that she got caught up in the diva-esque aspect of it, and she learned, you know, and I'm glad she did. And she had been very honest and open about that, you know, as the situation happened. So I'm glad she's, you know, found something that is probably better suited to her background, and she can probably bring some interesting things to Court TV that they didn't have before. So kudos to star Jones Reynolds, and kudos to Court TV for having the guts and the balls to hire her, because, you know, nobody would touch her after The View because of, I'm sure, Barbara Walters' power. But I'm glad that she's going to be back and doing something that she's obviously very good at. In any event, I think that's enough for now. I've talked and talked and talked. But anyway, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for tuning in, and continue to pass the podcast around. Much appreciated. Digital Sister, signing out. I'll be back with you in a few days.
You mess with the song.
The west side, we're riding. West side,
the west side. You got me rolling to the beat, I'm in love with you.